Our first case for argument today is 20-2271, Vernetics v. Mangrove Partners. Mr. Kinnaird, am I saying that right?
Kinnaird.
No, I wasn't. No was the answer. No, I wasn't there. Mr. Kinnaird, please proceed.
May it please the court. In Mangrove 1, based on prosecution disclaimer, this court held that the claim term VPN requires direct communication between the client and target computers. And the court construed the claim to exclude methods where the client computer has a point-to-point connection with an intermediary and, quote, cannot open a connection with the target itself. The board never applied this court's full claim construction, and QCHI does not disclose direct communication. And the simplest way to see that would be to compare QCHI directly to the disclaimer. So if I may ask, please, the court to turn to Appendix 7764, which is the disclaimer. And I would ask the court to focus on the first graphic there, which is Avantail's proxy chaining embodiment. And the preceding paragraph explains it. And it says that the Avantail user can communicate with a target via a number of proxies, but, quote, the user does not communicate directly with the proxy servers other than the one immediately downstream from it. And so if you look at the graphic left to right, you see a client with a separate connection to a first proxy. That first proxy has a separate connection over the internet with a second proxy. And that second proxy has a separate connection with the destination server. And the disclaimer goes on to say that this last SOX proxy, it resides on the same private network as the destination server, which means it's a server-side proxy. QCHI has the same communications architecture. And if I now may ask the court to turn to Appendix 13.
Well, before you do that, though, the one sentence you read isn't the only sentence, right? There are other sentences in this dialogue. Like at 7765, you further explain, Avantail does not disclose a VPN where data can be addressed to one or more different computers across the network, regardless of the location of the computer. Why doesn't that sentence, for example, support exactly what the board did in this case? I mean, it's one thing for you to point to a sentence that says what you would like maybe for us to look at, but you made lots of sentences or sentences.
That sentence actually supports us. So in order, and it goes back to the point that the client has to be able to open a connection with the target server in order to address messages to the target server. And that's what does not happen in QCHI. And the only thing that they can point to is a URL. But a URL, you have to click on a URL if you want to display a web page, no matter how the network is configured, whether there are SOX proxies, HTTP proxies, or no proxies. So it's a feature of both indirect and direct communication. And in fact, in Avantail, they refer to the host destination host name, which is part of the URL, and this is just extracted from it. And so that is why there is, and please be clear, at the trial, both Apple's expert and Vernetics' expert, and Vernetics' expert in the PTAB, all said there is no direct addressability between the user agent and the client and the origin server. And they had no expert testimony to the contrary. No expert attested that there's direct communication or direct addressing between the client and target computers.
Can I just quickly stop you on that? Is when we say direct addressability, direct communication, and direct connection, are we talking about all the same thing, or are those three different things?
They're all related. So for direct communication, you have to be able to open a connection, a direct connection with the target. And the way that you open a connection over the internet under the TCP protocol that applies here is that the client and the target will exchange their IP address, the port information, which is where specific to the application, and allows you to address your message to the IP address and the port. That's the only way the applications can talk to each other. So a connection is defined, and this is at 5444, as a virtual transport layer circuit between the applications on two computers. And you can't have that on Kiyuchi. And if you look at Appendix 13, which is petitioner's depiction of Kiyuchi, you see the exact same graphic. You see on the horizontal axis four computers, a user agent with two proxies in the middle, and the origin server. And their expert drew little black lines to show the separate connections. But they drew the attorneys drew a red line that just streaks through the proxies as if they weren't there. But they had no expert support for that. That's simply attorney argument. And so what Kiyuchi explains is that the user agent will have a connection only with the client-side proxy. It only directly communicates with that proxy. And that's an HTTP connection. And then the client-side proxy establishes, this is steps 3 to 5, a separate CHTTP connection with the server-side proxy. And the server-side proxy itself has a separate connection with the origin server. So the user agent cannot send messages. It doesn't have the IP address and the port.
So here's the thing. You didn't disclaim intermediaries, right?
We disclaimed anything that's direct. If you use these proxy intermediaries...
You couldn't have disclaimed intermediaries because your own TARP system that you disclose in the 135 patent is all about having intermediaries.
Your Honor, that's a completely different issue, if I may. That's at the network layer. The connection between computers is at the transport layer. So at the network layer, that's what deals with delivering traffic over distance through the physical networks that constitute the Internet.
Did you or did you not disclose, disclaim having intermediaries?
Only at the network level, not at the connection level.
You're saying there can be nothing. That direct connection means there can be no intermediary, not even a pass-through intermediary, no intermediary between the origin and the ultimate destination.
That would be correct at the transport layer. Remember, the transport layer is a virtual circuit, and it's just saying... We're both agreeing that messages will be sent to this IP address and this port. So you have to designate a port for the application. So there is no intermediary.
Designating a port doesn't mean there aren't stops in the middle. I decide to mail you a letter and I mail it from my house. I write your name and address on it. I stick it in my mailbox. It's going to make a lot of stops en route to your house. Those are all could be arguably intermediaries.
Right.
The postman's going to take it to, you know, the post office, and then it's going to be on a truck somewhere else. But I addressed it to you, and only the addressing was necessary for it ultimately to reach you. No important changes were made to it. Nobody opened it, refilled it with something else. You know, the data got to you that I wanted to get to you.
Your Honor, your analogy would be with the network layer. We're not saying that there are no intermediaries at the network layer. There are all kinds of routers. But as Cisco held, routers don't impede direct communication. To have direct communication, you have to open a connection. It's a virtual concept. It means you have to exchange your address import information, and so you can send messages directly. And that's exactly what Avantail does not do and Kiyuchi does not do. And so, in fact, Kiyuchi says that the client doesn't even know the origin server exists. And to the user agent, it appears all the resources are on the server-side proxy, and it's only to the server-side proxy IP address and port that messages are directed.
I want to come back to the disclaimer just for a second. Didn't our court already say what the disclaimer was?
It did.
And did we distinguish between the network layer and the transport layer?
Well, I think when you said you have to open a connection itself, what they're talking about is the transport layer.
But did we limit the finding of a disclaimer in the way you seem to need us to limit it now?
I think that's just inherent with what was said about in terms of that you have to open a connection. And if you have a point-to-point connection only with an intermediary, and that's what Kiyuchi does. It's only a connection to the client-side proxy. And so, Your Honor, I'd also like to address the 151.
I want to follow up on Judge Stark's question. Where in the disclaimer would I find that you made it clear and unmistakably clear that you were distinguishing between the network layer and the transport layer in terms of the disclaimer you were making?
Your Honor, there's a reference to the socket layer, and these are socket layer communications, and Apple had agreed below that that refers to the transport layer. And so there is no discussion here of what's happening at the network layer. That's not where the SOX proxy operates. And you can see that from the stack on 7767. It's above the transport layer. So the transport communication structure is exactly the same. The network intermediaries have nothing to do with it, and that's why Cisco, you know, recognized that and all the experts testify that direct addressability was to send the IP address in the port. It had not, and that the presence of these routers in between does not impede direct communication. So I think it is very clear. On the 151 patent, there are two issues. And on the first, the module requirements, important to recognize these are apparatus claims. All the claims recite a data processing device or a computer readable medium that stores a DNS proxy module that causes the device to perform certain functions. And on remand, petitioners clarified that they were mapping the DNS proxy module only to the client-side proxy, and they did that because, as they stated in their petition, the client-side proxy is a module stored in a data processing device. But the board blazed its own path, redefined the DNS proxy module as the combination of the DNS, of the client-side proxy and the name server. And by doing that, they violated the module requirement. These are separate components, as this court said in Mangrove.
I have an argument on appeal that there's inconsistent mapping and how the board did it. Did you make that argument to the board?
Well, again, this only came up when the board, in its final written decision, redefine the module this way.
So you didn't make it to the board, but you would say you didn't have an opportunity.
Exactly. And the other limitation is the forwarding limitation, in which this court previously reversed the board.
You're using your rebuttal time. If you want to keep going, go ahead.
I think I just want to be very quick on this. So the claim requires that you have a DNS request, one, sent by a client, two, intercepted, and if it's for a insecure target, that then sends it, forwards that request to a DNS function. Kiyuchi says it does exactly the opposite. It says it performs, the client-side proxy performs DNS lookup. And so that is, as their own expert said, the client-side proxy, which has DNS functionality, initiates the DNS request. So there's no user agent DNS request that is sent, intercepted, and forwarded. I'll reserve the remainder of my time.
Mr. Lee, please proceed.
You may proceed, Your Honor. May it please the Court. My name is Bill Lee, and together with my partner, Britt Yamati, I represent Apple. Let me turn directly to the 135 patent. The arguments that were just made to you by Vernetix directly contradict the positions they took in the earlier Vernetix appeals, and they directly contradict what this Court and the District Court said to sustain the verdict and the damages award in the first case. The only question is whether Kiyuchi, as a matter of fact, and mostly what you heard was facts, discloses a direct communication. All of the other limitations are conceded to be present. A direct communication under this Court's precedent is a communication from A to B, the user computer to the origin server. This Court explicitly said that there can be intermediate components. And if I were to quote from 767 Fed 3rd at 1320, this Court said, routers, firewalls, and similar servers do not impede direct communication. If you read Kiyuchi, it's all about proxies that are used as firewalls. The District Court said precisely the same thing at 925 Fed Sup at 831. This was important because, as the Court may recall, there was a NAT server in the FaceTime embodiment in the first case. So the communication went from the user server to the NAT server that had, Your Honor, a different IP address, and then on to what we would call the origin server. Vernetix successfully claimed with you to sustain the first verdict that that was a direct communication. They successfully claimed that having interposed a different component that created a firewall, or the NAT, did not mean you didn't have direct communication. In fact, you did. And that was the basis for sustaining the large verdict. We also know that the position the court took, the position the district court took, the position that they took on FaceTime is consistent with the TARP embodiment, and that's what the board said. The TARP embodiment is a direct communication. If you look at the summary invention, the very first sentence talks about the TARP embodiment. Vernetix admits that it's a direct communication. The only argument made to you today and in the briefs, only in the reply, was that somehow the layers matter. That's an argument that was not made in Vernetix 1 to the district court or to you. It was an argument not made to the board. It was an argument not made in the opening brief. It's an argument that was first made in reply. So we know well what a direct communication is. And as a matter of fact, Kiyuchi is just that. A direct communication from the user computer to the origin server with two proxies interposed for the purpose of encrypting and decrypting, creating a firewall. We also know what a direct communication is not, and that's Avantail. And to go to Your Honor, to Chief Judge Moore's question, if you read the next two pages beyond the page cited by counsel, it tells you what Avantail is. And Avantail is a point-to-point communication. A point-to-point communication is a communication where the packets, all of these communications are done in packets. The packets are sent from point A to point B, and they are collected and accumulated at point B before they are sent on, and they are then relayed. That is not the way that Kiyuchi works. It's not the way that a direct communication works. That is why in the first case, FaceTime with a relay server did not infringe, because it was point to point from the user computer to the relay server, and that was Avantail, not what was claimed in the patent. And at 925, fed this up at 830 to 831.
I have probably a dumb question. Does point to point mean there can't be an intermediary? I found a lot of the linguistics in this case to lack clear definition that I could really grasp onto.
Yeah, I think that point to point, if you just looked at the couple diagrams that counsel was referring to, you could say, well, that's point to point. But if you read the entirety of the disclaimer, they're talking about point to point for relay purposes. And it turns out, as the board recognized, there's a difference between relaying and forwarding communications. When you forward a communication, which is what happens in the patent and what happens in Kiyuchi, the communication is broken into packets. It is sent to the proxies, which are firewalls. When they arrive, the packets are not accumulated. They're not collected. They are encrypted, received, encrypted, and it's called forwarded, a term that has meaning to one of skill in the art. The difference in point-to-point in Avantail is that the packets arrive and they're accumulated until the entire message is there, and then the accumulated message is forwarded on after the server does whatever it does. That's why in the very next page that Your Honor cited to counsel, you will find the term relay. And in the very next page, you'll hear point-to-point. That is the difference between Avantail and what the patentee was describing as a direct communication.
And you say the board recognized that distinction between forward and relay. Where would we find that?
It recognized it when it talked about point to point.
But where will we find that the board recognized that point to point means relay and does not mean forward?
I think, Your Honor, if you look at the disclaimer itself, you will see that it's referring to relay. And in fact, they cite for you a generic set of dictionary definitions about proxies. in the very next couple pages, they distinguish between relay and forward. So what the board recognized is there's a distinction between a direct communication that can have interposed components, so that can be more precise, and point-to-point. The question that the chief is asking is, what is point-to-point? And it is, if you look at what the board's citing and the disclaimer, it is some where you are relaying, not forwarding. And you want to the best indication that you don't have to take my word for it is, if you look at the first case, the communication that went in the version of FaceTime to a net router with a different IP address and on was characterized by Vernetic successfully as a direct communication. A communication that went to a relay server, and I can give Your Honor the precise, it's at 925 Fed Sup 2nd at 830 to 831. This is where the district court is saying it's the relay server that makes it not direct, and that's the difference. And most importantly, what the court found here, I'm sorry, what the board found is, as a matter of fact, this is not a direct communication. Remember that direct communication is not a claim term. Direct communication exists only because of the disclaimer. And the importance of the direct communication is only to distinguish Avantail. And Avantail is, on its face, distinguishable. But, most importantly, as a matter of fact, the board found that Cayuchi is a direct communication that has nothing more than proxies interposed as firewalls. And when you read pages appendix 5267 to 5268, every time one of the proxies discussed, Your Honor, it's talking about the firewall, the creation of a firewall, specifically what this court referred to earlier. The second argument that Vernetics made concerned direct addressability, and Judge Stark, you asked a question about that. And I think the answer was they're related but different. There's nothing in the claims that requires direct addressability. There's nothing, in fact, that requires direct communication. It's just the disclaimer. The fact of the matter is that the direct communication can and does occur using the URL or the DNS. There's no requirement that you have the IP address of the origin server and that you address it to that. How do we know that?
That was going to be my next question. How do we know that?
We know that because that's precisely the position that Vernetics took successfully in the first case, that the existence of the relay server prevented it from being a direct connection. So as I said at the outset, the positions that are taken today are contrary to the positions that were taken to sustain a large verdict.
Did anything about what Vernetics did in the first case come up in front of the board in this case? Did the board say, you're stopped, Vernetics, from arguing these things or anything
no,
like that?
No, no. I don't think we could characterize what the board said as a stop. Well, I mean, the board had in mind this court's opinion in Vernetics was being remanded to them. They clearly knew about what had occurred before. But what the board decided was, and I think it's pretty clear, appendix pages 6 to 7, the board said, it's been remanded to us. The question is direct communication. The question is, as a matter of fact, is there a direct communication? And it found, as a matter of fact, there was. And it rejected the arguments of direct addressability as not required by the claims. Rejected the arguments about modification of the message because there was none. And then on this, as I said, on this argument, the third and only other argument made on the layer, this is an argument that wasn't made to the board, wasn't made in the opening briefs, and wasn't made to you before. And that's why the quote that I provided from the district court and this court is so clear that firewalls and routers are...
So I understand your position. We shouldn't reach the layer issue, but if we were to, have we said something about it before? Is it within the scope of the disclaimer, or?
It doesn't matter. It's completely irrelevant whether there's a direct communication or not. There's a reason that the argument wasn't made before, having had at least three or four occasions to make, because it's got nothing to do with whether this is Avantail or this is the patent. And Cayuchi is, as a matter of fact, that. Let me talk very quickly about the 151 patent. There are really only two arguments that are being made to you. They are both substantial evidence arguments. First, the argument that I thought I heard at the end that we had not contended that the combination of the CHTTP server and the client server were in fact the DNS proxy module is not true. It was made from the outset. You can go back to A2652 and you'll find it was made in the Mangrove petition. This is the alternative mapping that was mentioned in this court's opinion, but not addressed because the board didn't address it. It has been an issue. That is the mapping that the board took up. It's the mapping the board applied. And it found that the combination of the CHTTP server and the client proxy, those two together performed all three of the functions, determining, forwarding, automatically creating, and they do. The two arguments made to you in the briefing are these. First, that the claims require a single component. They don't. Claims don't require a single component. The specification doesn't require a single component. In fact, the specification at column 38, lines 32 and on, says you could have multiple components in any configuration that you would like. And in fact, as we cite in our briefs, Vernetix has said, this is not about the configuration of an apparatus, as counsel argued. This is about having components to perform functions. The only other argument made to you was that each of the components has to perform all three of the functions. Again, nothing in the claims that suggests that. Again, nothing in the specification that suggests that. And the board found, as a matter of fact, that the CHTTP server and the client-side proxy perform the functions of determining, forwarding, and automatically creating. That is substantial evidence to support the finding of the board. Unless there are other questions.
I guess just one more to be clear.
Sure.
Mr. Kinnaird says that his client didn't have an opportunity with respect to the 151 to make the inconsistent mapping argument. You disagree, but could we point to something in the record that would support your disagreement?
Well, I would say two things, Your Honor. We can look at this court's decision that was remanded, and it refers specifically to an alternative mapping that wasn't considered. And then if you go back to the record, including A2652, I think is the right page, you'll see that this alternative discussion about a DNS proxy module was made in the Mangrove petition from the outset. Recall that DNS proxy module is not in the specification anywhere. It first appears in the claims. It is, as the Williamson Court suggested, in a different context. It's not something that has a structural meaning in and of itself. So the question is, what does the spec tell us? It tells us that it can be one component, it can be multiple components. That's precisely what it is. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Lee. Mr. Kinnaird, you have some rebuttal time?
Yes, Your Honor. On the 135, a proxy is not a firewall, it's not a router. Kiyuchi was an issue in Cisco, and the court held that Kiyuchi did not disclose direct communication because the proxy servers terminate the connection. And that's exactly what we argued below. And that's what proxies do. They're defined as an intermediary that breaks the connection. They're different. And so that is exactly what we have. The relay issue is a red herring. When you talk about a point-to-point connection with an intermediary, you're talking about the first connection with the client-side proxy. And there, it's only open there. They cannot open a connection, as Mangrove One requires the client to be able to open a connection to the origin server. They never addressed that, either in their briefs or at oral argument. And the NAT router, again, that is a router that creates a special combination address that's unique for the origin server. There's direct addressability. On the 151 issue is simply false, that they mapped the combination. You can look at 4708, note 4. They clarified, and they had to, because that's the only way they could meet the stored module requirement. So, Your Honor, I think it's clear there is no direct communication, and the relay is also a red herring. There's all a relay means is that you don't rewrite the request because the SOX server exists, is not at the application layer like at HTTP, but both of them have to forward the data. And so they both relay.
We're out of time, counsel, but I do have a final question for you. Is Mr. Lee correct that you did not raise this distinction between the network and the transport layer prior to your reply brief in this case?
Your Honor, we argue that there was no connection. And it's only when...
No, I didn't ask if you argued there's no connection.
No, I don't think
that's been your argument throughout. Right. My question is, did you make this much more fine-tuned distinction between saying their connection means one thing in the network layer and a different thing in the transport layer?
I think connection only means...
I'm not asking you what you think it means. I'm asking, did you make
the argument,
and if so, where?
We did not specifically discuss layers.
But okay, then that argument is not fairly in front of us.
Oh, no, I think it is, Your Honor, because...
I disagree.
Thank you, Your Honor.
All right, that concludes this case. It will be taken under submission.